In the heat of another Auckland summer, Annette Lees invites us to dip into Swim, her book about New Zealanders and their love of water. In the interview that you're about to hear, I sat down with Annette to talk a bit about the research process involved with putting together such a book. Welcome, Annette.
Pleasure to be here.
thanks for coming in to speak to me. So we're talking about your book, Swim, which you're going to talk to us a little bit about in your upcoming talk as part of our Heritage Talk series.
Yes.
There was just a little piece in here that struck me when I was looking at the book earlier, which I'll read out. It talks about Apa Nui Primary School, which had a swimming pool, still there today, a rectangle of savagely cold water that always seemed to be in the shade and that would leave you shivering for the rest of the day. I don't recall any actual lessons, just a teacher leaning on the fence, forbidding us to jump, instructing us to get from one end to the other as best we could. This probably speaks to a lot of people's experience, but this is part of your experience, Annette.
Yes, it is.
Growing up in which part of the country?
So this is in Whakatane in the Eastern Bay of Plenty.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where you spent a bit of time in the water?
I did. I grew up in the water. Uh-huh. So like all the other children, all my friends, my brothers, my sister, wherever there was some water, it didn't matter what it was, the local creek, the Whakatane Heads, where the river comes down into to the sea, the local estuary, the Rotorua Lakes, we would be diving into that water.
So your journey towards this book started with a resolution to swim a lot.
Yeah.
Was part of that resolution wanting to... You talk about rediscovering the seven-year-old within in the book.
Yeah.
Was that part of what...
Oh, absolutely. And I think seven-year-olds, that's a seminal age where you become aware of the world around you. And I never wanted to be the dry adult sitting on the riverbank. I wanted to be the person who was experiencing the world in its full. And I discovered as I got older that there came a point where one summer I didn't swim very often. And I was a little bit horrified. And I thought, I've got to actually do something about that and shift my perspective. So the following summer, I started on the 1st of December and ended up swimming every day for a whole year outdoors. So yeah, that's where that resolution came from.
The journey didn't start off as a journey towards a book, did it?
No, it was simply just to try to get myself back in the water in a really regular way. But I really re-fell in love with swimming and started to look for books about swimming. And there's a great many of them on what the British called wild swimming in Britain, but almost there was nothing from New Zealand. And in the end, I decided I was going to have to research and write this book myself. So yeah, and it turned out to be a much more difficult process than I imagined.
It seems a bit strange, doesn't it, in a country where like you say, swimming is such a big part of the sort of the zeitgeist, or whatever you want to call it, that there wasn't a lot
I actually think that's something very New Zealand about that, because New Zealand, outdoor swimming in New Zealand is so normal and so natural. I don't think it's ever occurred to anyone that it's special enough to note or write a book about. And so for my work, I run a lot of workshops, and during my year of swimming, I got curious about other people's stories, and I would ask people in the room, who's a swimmer? And very few people would put their hands up. And I learned eventually to ask, who likes taking a dip? And everyone would put their hands up, because the swimming side of it, when I used that word, it had a sports element to it, and that is not what this is about. Although there are marvelous sporting outdoor long distance swimmers, which are also part of our stories. But this idea of just taking a dip in whatever water is around you, that's the core of this experience, and a lot springboards from that. But trying to find those stories turned out to be a very, very difficult job because they're not registered under swimming in any way. You have to actually seek them by reading widely and researching widely, and swimming stories would pop up in the most unexpected of places.
What sort of places?
Well, you'd find I learned to read a lot of biographies and autobiographies of New Zealanders reminiscing about their childhood. And no matter what the childhood was or where they were, almost all of them had a swim in there, a place that they swam. And it was always, sometimes it was just a few sentences, and sometimes it was more, a few paragraphs. And I started to collect those. And themes started to emerge about different kinds of swimming. So, yeah, writing a book about something so ephemeral, it can be hard to capture that. But through the research, the themes, it's just like, you know, you're walking, well, if you're walking the same path more than once, you start to lay down a path. And that's where these themes started to come through. I found themes commonly from school journals. They were a fantastic resource, the old school journals, particularly from the 40s through to the early 60s. Fabulous writing for children about subjects that children are interested in, a lot then about swimming. So you'd pick those out. There'd be some kind of, there'd be resonance with something that you'd read from papers past, and then you'd start to connect those things together and start to firm up that ephemeral theme. There were some stories that radiated right from the very beginning, and some individuals, like I'm thinking of Lily Copplestone, who was a swimmer from the 1930s, and one of these people who vanished from our stories. And something about her as a person and her stories of swimming shone from the beginning, so I knew that I wanted Lily in my book. Other stories I couldn't tell. I collected an enormous number of stories about swimming with animals. Everything from swimming with dogs, with dolphins, with whales, with eels and sharks, and you name it. And I just loved that chapter, and it grew and grew and grew. And I kept finding stories wherever I was looking about swimming with animals, and I was absolutely certain there was going to be a chapter on it. And then at the end, you know, when you get a book published, you have an editor who's a very important person, different kinds of editing. So a structural editor will look at the book and say, I don't know about this chapter. And the one that struck, Jane Parkin was the structural editor for, marvellous editor. Mm-hmm. She read that chapter and she said, that doesn't really work for me. And I read it again and I thought, it's got to go. She's quite right. So I saved a couple of the little stories from that and it just went. So there was probably 6 weeks worth of research just out the window. But it isn't really gone from me because I remember them. I remember all of those stories, and it sort of infuses the rest of your writing and it enriches it in a way. I didn't actually have a problem with throwing out stories because I had such fun collecting them. They're not lost as far as I'm concerned. They're still with me. And, you know, going around New Zealand now and talking to people, and now the book is out, I'm getting more and more swimming stories. I think, I wish I'd known that when I was writing this book.
Yeah.
Because the book's done now. But I hope that people will now honour those stories, that they won't be lost now, and people will recognise this as a really important part of being a New Zealander.
Annette will speak at Tāmaki Pātaka Kōrero on February 20th as part of our Heritage Talk series. You can find more of Auckland Library's podcast content on soundcloud.com.